Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician.
Hey, hey, get it together. Yeah. We're just getting started here. Come on. Here we go.
Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. All right,
said like
Drew.
A real robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole... Let me explain life to everybody. It's important to go on autopilot.
All right. Yeah.
That's... You know when you get behind the wheel of a rental car?
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass it is?
Yeah.
You think you're turning the lights on, you turn the wipers on. You don't know how to adjust the rear view.
Yeah, but...
But you get in your car, you could drive with a 12-pack of Schlitz tall boys in you, doing 80 all the way from the airport, not remember it when you get home.
Well, that's the problem. You're doing
problems.
You're doing autopilot well.
Right, right.
Okay.
That's what you try to do in radio.
Yeah, well.
Right.
Okay.
You try to get all that stuff down where you don't have to think.
All right.
Dr. Drew's a born sound physician.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Don't have to focus. Watch this. I won't even think on this next call. Megan, you're 18. Thanks for calling Loveline. What's your problem?
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't really have a problem, but first I have to say, Adam, you have to call me baby.
Blah, 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 blah. All right. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Actually, I was just wondering, I was listening to the radio out here a couple nights ago, and I was wondering, is there an ointment that makes your orgasms better?
No.
Let's see.
No way. No way.
No, because it said it...
There's a whole industry now directed at women to try to get them to believe that they can have better orgasms. It's equivalent to the male penis enlargement
industry.
Baby. Thank you.
Sorry, baby. Thanks. Anderson, get ready with those drops tonight. I might be able to cruise through this whole show without muttering
speaking,
a syllable. You're supposed to rub this on your clitoris?
Yes.
And it's supposed to...
Make it more sensitive.
Do you have orgasms?
I have trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble.
But you're able to have one.
Yes.
And what is the trouble?
It just, sometimes it's not too short. It's just, my boyfriend just has one before I do.
Well, how about by yourself?
No, I can never have one by myself.
How come?
Not enough ointment.
Yeah, again, this is the fact of being able to be emotionally intimate, being able to communicate to your partner what you need, and him sort of understanding how he works.
Oh, we have no problem doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do.
Oh.
You do have a problem because it's ending too quickly for you. And you need to be able to go back to him and say, hey, we got to figure something out here and make this work for me.
How does he give you the orgasm when he does?
Intercourse.
When he's able to go along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. Does it go
down? At 18, you know, that's pretty good.
Ooh, way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Does it go down on you?
Yes, he does.
Nice. Nice.
And this is another question.
It's trifecta.
Usually when he goes down on me, it feels so good, I almost want to pee.
Well, some women actually do pee.
Yeah. Well, I stopped him before I did once.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I don't know if I'm stopping myself from having one or...
You probably are, it sounds like.
Yeah, because I don't know if I can just...
Let it loose, huh?
Yeah, he goes down on you and it feels so good you're going to pee. Do you really need the clit juice?
Yeah, how much better is the ointment going to make it?
True that.
All right. You're doing fine. Just figure it out with your boyfriend. Be a little more open and communicative about what it is you need.
She is way ahead of the curve at 18.
Way ahead.
Yep.
Yeah.
These kids these days, they want it all, Drew. I'll tell you that.
This is the new version of the guy calling up going, what's the average size of a penis? I have a penis pump. I have this. I have that. And we tell me every size is 5.4. You guys ecstatic.
I haven't heard about this ointment that girls rub on them. Have you been hearing about this?
No, but I've been hearing about this growing industry directed at women.
Amy?
Hi.
You're 17.
Yeah, my question was for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I've been diagnosed with bacterial vaginitis three times in like the past 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering why it keeps coming back, because I've been prescribed medicine and I've taken it before.
What's the medicine?
Metrogel.
Cream, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And are you seeing a gynecologist about this?
Yeah, I've seen one three times.
Drew, what's the difference between a cream and a gel? Gel is translucent.
Gel, it's a different suspension medium. I don't know.
Light seems to pass through gels.
Yeah, generally.
You know, they call those things they put over the lights in movies. Gels.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Nice.
All right, Amy. Yeah, but, hey, baby.
Be that as it may, listen, one of the things, did your doctor talk to you about what the possibilities are?
No.
One of the things sometimes happens is it gets around from the other side, if you get my drift.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I've read about that and hygiene things. And
it doesn't even have to be hygiene sometimes. Sometimes it's just your own sort of microflora.
Yeah.
And the wrong stuff's getting around there. And
you got to wipe away.
You got to wipe away.
You got to wipe.
I do that.
Wipe toward Mecca.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know, because I've taken the Metrogel, and then I went to see another doctor to get another opinion when I came back the third time.
Yeah.
And he said the problem was that I didn't get an
cleared up
a medicine for a yeast infection to take after the Metrogel.
Okay. Are you having...
Yeah, he gave me Diflucan to take after Metrogel.
Okay. Are you having sex?
No.
Hmm.
Well, not now.
Nothing's getting... Your vagina's not getting exposed to anything.
No.
All right. It's not an uncommon thing, Amy. It isn't.
I've read that, could it be because of, like, eating too much sugar?
No, people theorize about that, but that really doesn't have much to do with it. And that, by the way, is more about the thought to be more about the yeast, but even that doesn't make much difference.
Let me tell everyone about sugar. Apparently, not the deal that people like to make it out to be.
Well, Amy's, 17? She didn't live through what we lived through with sugar.
Yeah.
Why don't you enlighten the youngins?
Oh, my goofball mom was telling me how white sugar would basically kill you. I mean,
in the 70s, sugar, white sugar especially.
Anything white. White bread, white flour, white rice, white sugar.
You were going to die.
You wouldn't
make it to adulthood.
Wasn't good being white in the 70s.
Yeah, no, bad times.
Yeah. I blame it partially on that goddamn Roots special. Turned everyone against Whitey. But it wasn't, you ate sugar and you'd get, you'd be hyperkinetic. And people would be walking around like, oh, look at him. What happened? Oh, he ate a peanut butter cookie, and he's flying, man. I mean, he's out of control.
Meantime,
he's restrained this guy.
14 tabs of LSD in reality. But that's cool, man. That make him feel better. That sugar will get him.
Listen, if you can eat an Oreo and start spinning out, that is the definition of lightweight. I don't believe people would even know it if you didn't tell them. I think it's all psychological.
Oh, that's been tested very clearly.
Yeah. Sugar, it doesn't do anything to me. Jessica, I wish it did. Jessica, you're 21.
Hello, I'm here.
What's up?
All right. First, let me just say, don't make fun of me, but I'm here. I do a caller right now. I have every problem in the world.
All right.
Okay, I've been with my boyfriend like 2.5 years now, and we had a problem with him, me not being able to trust him last year maybe, and we're having these problems again, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, this is kind of a difficult one for us to assess. Didn't you say you've had all the problems that we talk about?
Oh, all the time.
Okay, so you've had all these problems. So, A, that certainly could make you have difficulty trusting people and could make you very suspicious even though nothing is going on. On the other hand, if you've had all those experiences that we're used to talking about here, we know that you'll choose a partner who's likely to perpetrate them again.
Exactly. So how do I know if it's me that's just being paranoid and worrying about all the things that has already happened?
Well, one of the things...
Wait a minute. Have you caught your boyfriend doing anything?
Not right in front of me. I have a pretty good idea that he did.
What?
He was working at a place about a year ago, and he met a girl there, lied about me in front of my face, said, oh, that's a girl, she's not my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. Talking to the girl every night, taking her home every night, lying about everything that you could ever imagine. So I kind of came to my own assumptions.
What do you mean lying?
Right in front of you saying this isn't my girlfriend?
Pretty much.
No, wait.
Pretty much?
We're not looking for pretty much here. Exactly what did he say in front of you? What were the words you heard?
In front of me, I lied about you being my girlfriend because I don't want to be with you and I don't want this right now.
All right, so that was a year ago. So he wanted to break up a year ago. Does he want to break up now?
I don't really know. I talked about it to him. I said, if you don't want a relationship right now, if you're not ready for it, then at least just tell me so that I'm not kind of hanging around here.
So I can kill myself.
Oh, I want to be with you, but then he messes around. Like, tonight I was supposed to meet him, and he didn't come home for 2 hours. So I'm like, what's going on here? And
this is less about cheating and more about just disrespect.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago we were out in the city and some girl called, oh, where are you? You're supposed to be at the bar with us tonight. What's going on? Where are you? He was quick to hang up the phone then.
How do you know what she was saying?
Oh, she was screaming. I could hear it. I was right next to him.
Like over the music.
Holy Christ. All right, well, why don't you break up with him?
He's a dick.
He doesn't sound like he's too into this relationship.
But am I supposed to think that maybe I'm just a little bit of a paranoid person because of something that has happened?
There's no doubt you're a mess, but this guy's an idiot, and you have our permission to break up.
He's just mistreating you. I don't care what it surrounds, it's mistreatment.
Take a little time for yourself.
Chill pill.
Take that chill pill Dr. Drew has prescribed. Steven?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. About 4 years ago today, I was assaulted by my stepbrother.
You were 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today, huh? You know the date.
Yeah, it's pretty bad that way.
Yeah.
And my question is I'm wondering how strong is the probability that that experience can lead to, like, bisexuality?
You were raped?
Yeah.
How old was your stepbrother when he did this?
He's about a year older than I am.
He was 14?
Yeah.
How did he rape you?
It's a long story. It happened right under my dad's nose. It happened in the shower.
Where was your dad?
He was in the living room.
What were you doing taking a shower with a 14-year-old when you're 13?
The guy walked in.
Yeah, basically.
You weren't taking a shower with him?
No.
And he walked in, you were in the shower.
Yeah.
And what did he do?
He basically,
We want to know specifically. Did he hold you down? Did he, you know, make it so you couldn't yell for help?
Yeah, he held me down with his body weight and everything, and he told me not to say a word.
Or what?
Or he would, like, kick my butt or something.
Yeah, so that's when you start screaming louder.
Better to have your butt kicked than your butt pricked.
Well, I did.
My grandfather used to say.
Well, I did actually scream, and my stepmother knocked on the door and said, "What the hell's going on?" That sort of thing.
Yeah, and then why didn't you say, "Help me, help me, help me"?
Because
what I'm getting at is you must have been physically or sexually abused before this.
Yeah, he occasionally molested me between the ages of 9 to 13 at that time.
All right, well, that's much more important.
So this wasn't the important incident.
Yeah.
This was just one of many.
This is just one you've chosen to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Well, the anniversary's coming up.
Mm. Well, you were being abused for 4 years before this.
Yeah.
And that's where you were unable to assert yourself.
And I suspect I would even bet further that somebody sort of manhandled you even before that.
Yeah, my dad.
Well, there you go.
There you go. So that's that. Now you've filled out the sort of profile.
So now, do you think you're bi or gay or?
More leaning towards bi.
Well, bi. but be that as it may, it's not about the rape. It's about the long history of sexual abuse that was going on for years.
Okay. And whatever you feel is whatever you feel.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. What I mean is we were just talking about this last night.
Put that on a cart next to the world as your oyster.
Yeah. Some gays were born gay and some were created in the lab.
But it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Gay is as gay does. Life is like a box of gays. So you are what you are. And that may be your life. And the only way it's going to be a bad life is if you question it every day and fight against the direction your balls are going.
Well, for a long time, I was kind of in denial about it.
Well, I think you may even still be in some degree of denial about it. But it's something, you know, you need to work on for a while. It's a tough thing to manage. What about also working on the childhood history of severe trauma? You have to work on that, too.
Okay.
And how about a little therapy?
I've been doing that, but it's been kind of complicated. There's a conflict of interest with it.
Whose interest?
It's both hers and mine, because I've known my therapist ever since I was 4, and she has a connection to my family, and that's the conflict of interest.
Well, why'd you see a new therapist then?
Because right now I don't have insurance.
Well, why don't you and your therapist get some couples counseling?
Okay.
Do they have that, Drew? Where you and your therapist go in and try to hash out your problems?
Yeah, they call it the supervision.
Yeah. Geez, I feel in a way like they've been charging me too much. You never got into that? Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting. Steven?
Yeah?
New therapist.
Okay.
You have to.
All right.
And relax, but this was major trauma in your life, and you got to work on it. And where's your stepbrother now?
Actually, I have no idea because I haven't talked to them to that whole household since this happened.
Jail.
Yeah. God knows what he's doing to whose ass.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. Oh, for Christ's sake. What the hell kind of parenting is that? Weirdo stepbrother comes in.
Well, dad was physically abusing him when he was a little kid.
Yeah.
So who is that guy?
But what a nightmare for you as a young child to have weirdo stepbrother move in and start raping you at age 9. And then you live, you know, you're sitting across the guy eating breakfast every morning. You're living with the dude for years.
Torture, right?
Hey, I'd rather be at the Hanoi Hilton.
Yeah.
Battery jumper cables put on my testicles every night.
That's right.
It'd be a better hand dealt to you. Francesca?
Yeah?
Is that your name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're 20. What's up?
I've been going out with my boyfriend for like a year and a half, and he won't have sex with me.
Have you asked why?
Well, like, he, like, keeps avoiding the subject. I'm like, I just tell him, I'm like, well, you know, we, like, get to the point, and it's like, he just won't go all the way.
Why?
I have no idea. I'm just like I ask him, and he's just like, I don't think I'm ready yet. And I'm like, well, we've been going out for like a year and a half, and I'm like, you're not ready yet?
Did you ask him when he would be ready?
Like, he's all, well, maybe like next week or something, and he keeps putting it off.
How far have you gotten with him?
Like, okay, I give him oral sex, and...
She, Francesca, by the way, says like more than Shaggy from Scooby-Doo did.
You know what you need to do is stop giving him oral sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe he'll then take sex as the viable alternative.
He won't even go down on me.
Yeah.
And you just give him oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you finish him off? Yes?
Yeah.
And then he won't go down on you?
No.
If this doesn't make you happy, why are you in this relationship?
Because I really like him, though.
Sure. What's not to love?
Like, he's a great guy. It just pisses me off.
Can you imagine? Well, maybe.
I'm so frustrated with it.
I guess guys put up with stuff like
what's this guy do? Does he smoke weed? Does he surf?
He surfs.
Mm-hmm.
Does he smoke a lot of weed?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 21.
Maybe he's had some... Well, we're only speculating. Who the hell knows what his deal is? We'd have to talk to him, but maybe he's had some erectile difficulties from the pot.
Most surfers are in some sort of suspended, retarded animation.
Yeah, yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
They have no idea where they are. It's a combination of sewage in the water, the sun, I think the salt, seagulls picking at their brain, cutting class every day and going surfing, smoking tons of weed. They're almost retarded, surfers are.
Yeah.
Yet, they live a great life and get a ton of tail.
Should I give them an ultimatum, like put out or...
I'm not sure the ultimatum, but you need to get some more honesty going here. If he gave you an explanation for why he's being the way he is and you understood, maybe you'd even support it. But you're not taking no more avoidance.
Well, it's not like religious or anything.
Well, it's whatever, but nope. There's a reason, and you got to find out what it is. And if it's unacceptable, and you still won't move on in the relationship in the direction you want it to go, then it is over.
No BJs. Has this guy ever gone down on you?
No.
Ho. Oh.
Meantime, withhold.
Year and a half. You've gone down on him hundreds of times.
Yeah.
He's never gone down on you.
No.
Bad time.
This guy's broken beyond repair.
Maybe.
He really is. Look, Drew, seriously. A guy who can't get it together in the beginning honeymoon phase of a relationship. A guy will not put out sexually, will not go down on the woman, who gets nothing but oral sex from her and will never reciprocate. Think about the kind of guy this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a really serious a-hole.
He's an a-hole, and to change him around, that's a full-time job.
Yeah, yep.
I think she should move on.
Mm.
Kip?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, when I have sex with my girl, I can't keep my erection.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I troubled by this call?
Right? I don't know.
Did something bug you too?
I didn't believe him.
Yeah, I didn't either. Are you on medication?
No.
Has this happened with every girlfriend?
Nope, just it's happened like the last 4 months.
With the same girl?
Mm-hmm.
How long you been with her?
2 years.
And it was no problem the first year and 8 months?
Nope.
How old is she?
She's 19 now.
Mm-hmm. Drew, what are you looking at me that way for? You don't believe him?
I don't know. Just something weird. It's a weird vibe. Anyway.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like much of a bogus call, though.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I'm dead serious.
All right. Yeah. No Medicaid. Are you anxious? Is something going on in the relationship?
No. Everything's fine.
Are you afraid that it's going to happen each time you have sex?
No.
You're not worrying about it when you get going?
No.
How long into the intercourse does this occur?
He says 10 minutes,
oh,
but
sorry.
10 minutes is a pretty long time for just sort of pounding away.
How long does it take you to ejaculate, usually? See?
What do you do? Hang up?
Hang up.
Well, now he's back.
Are you there?
Yeah.
How long did you say it was?
About 15 minutes.
15 is what it was or what it is now?
What it takes him, and then but he doesn't
what
get
there. What it takes, usually.
Because he's 10 minutes, he's gone.
Yeah, I can't. I never finish.
Normally it takes him 15 minutes to finish. Now he's losing it at 10.
I see. Yeah. So he's just shaved 33% off. Well, that's just efficiency right there.
Yeah, but he doesn't ejaculate.
Oh, no. Oh, loses the erection, right. No ejaculation.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, that's bad times. Can she finish you off with a BJ?
No, I can't get it back up. After that, I have to go to the bathroom.
To do what?
To urinate. Yeah.
It's weird.
Because it's irritated?
No, I don't know. Everything feels okay. It just goes down, and then I have to go to the bathroom, and if I wait a little while, it comes back, but then it goes away again.
No medication. Never been on medication.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. And no medical problems.
Nope.
And the relationship is okay.
Yep.
And is she okay? Does she have any problem with this?
Well, she just asks why all the time, and I don't know why.
Do you masturbate?
No, every once in a while.
Yeah.
No, yes.
Well, how often?
Probably like 3 times a week, maybe.
Oh, why don't you lay off that for a while?
Really?
That's a lot. For a guy who's having an active sex life?
Ah! Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, I was going to fire back, but I really have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, lay off that, see if maybe things aren't... There's some very significant vibe I was getting from him. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But it was something we couldn't get at in a few minutes here.
Well, there's something that 18-year-old teenage guys have, which is a sort of insincere vibe.
Yeah.
Oftentimes. It's a kind of a...
Flippancy?
Yeah, it's an elusive, flippant kind of antisocial vibe.
Right. When I get that, I assume any question I ask, the answer is going to be, no, not me.
But half those guys have real questions.
Yeah.
They just can't really turn off their sort of flippant a-hole vibe.
No, I understand. But I also, if I want to sort of dig for something, I ain't going nowhere.
This is why, by the way, I couldn't be a school teacher, because 5 minutes of that, I'd end up taking a swing at every third or fourth boy who was in my class. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're explaining to them about what you want them to do over the weekend or some homework assignment, they were just standing there.
Smirking at you.
Yeah. I'd end up just giving one a karate chop. I'd snap into my patented praying mantis position.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just like the Karate Kid.
Right in the place that would paralyze them, make them drop to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that little karate chop.
Yeah.
Right in the trapezoid area.
Right here.
Drops them. Yeah. Pow. And they're usually passed out, well, for long enough for you to get away, whatever that is. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Robert, who's 21. Last two girls he went down on had white, sour-tasting substance down there.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe he got drunk and went down on like a tostada.
A baker.
Hey, and who, by the way, Drew, I know you think we're going to commercial, but I don't know if this is a California thing or an L.A. thing, but who decided we needed a metric goddamn ton of sour cream on top of every Mexican dish?
I know you don't like that. I like that.
You do?
Yeah.
That is like white trash.
I like that. I know.
You order an enchilada, and they take this huge,
wonderful
sour cream and guacamole, side by side.
And guacamole, I'm fine with. Man. But do they use sour cream in Mexico, or is all cream sour in Mexico, or how does it? Well, they don't use sour cream in Mexico.
Probably not. Yeah,
this is just a bad LA thing. We got to get over this. It ruins it.
Mm.
All right. I'm glad you're on board with that. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Mike Ness from Social Distortion, and you're enduring
The Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
We haven't heard from him in a long time.
No, we have not. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You're enduring Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Love Line. Let's get back to the phones here, Drew.
Yeah.
See what we can learn. Mm. Robert?
Yep.
You're 21.
That I am.
Oh, what, boy.
What's your problem?
Problem is, the first one that I had the incident with was my ex-wife. I had asked her for years. We have three kids together.
Three kids? Your ex-wife? You're 21.
Yeah, I had my first kid when I was 14. I got married when I was 15.
Oh, my God.
That's irrelevant, though. That's not the point that I'm trying to make, though. Mm-hmm. The point that I'm trying to make, though, is that after that, I had a girlfriend after that who had the same problem, where she had a bunch of white substance, mainly around the clitoris, mainly around the urethra. And I asked her to...
Wait a minute. Wait, the urethra and the clitoris are not right next to each other.
Yeah, close
about
enough.
About half an inch away from each other. I mean, it's relatively
close. Yeah, but one's inside and one's outside.
Right. Either way, there's enough of it to surround both the clitoris. You know, as you spread it and you pull it up and you want to get the clitoris in your mouth, it was around the same area.
Wow, man.
I had asked, you know, can you ask your doctor what this stuff is? Because I don't know how many times I can, you know, take a baby wipe to you and clean you off so that I can have what I want from you. So,
Hold on one second. Got to take a breath here.
Yeah.
Robert is pops three times over.
Yeah.
This is dad. This crazy baby wipe and
hey, his kids are his
crotch licking goofball here has three goddamn kids.
Oldest kid is my children's age.
Yeah. You know my favorite part is? I'll get back and we'll hear about how great a dad he is.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. Robert?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Where are your kids?
My kids are at home with their mother right now.
Uh huh. And do you see them?
I see them every morning, yes.
Okay. I thought you were...
Because I work two shifts. I work 16 hours a day.
I thought you were divorced.
I am divorced, but I go very early in the morning over to see them every morning.
All right. And you're not high or drunk or anything?
I'm an alcoholic, yeah. But it doesn't affect my work nor my relationship with my children.
That's where the humor came in there. Right there.
Well, when do you have time to get drunk if you're working all those shifts and visiting your kids?
The bartender.
Not a bartender. I know exactly how much I can drink when I want to. The weekends are the time that I devote entirely to my children. I give them bath, read them book. They go to bed by 9:30 at the latest. I have until about midnight to get drunk and go to bed. Until I have to be up the next morning by 6 o'clock to be there to wake them up.
What do you do for a living?
I run a medical registry.
What's that? A registry for what?
A registry, it's like a temp agency for hospitals. We provide nuclear medicine, ultrasound, all that.
All right. I buy it. It checks out.
Well, that's you're 16 hours a day doing that?
Okay. But the question is, for Dr. Drew, what could that substance be? I mean, could it just be that after they urinate, could it just be urine that kind of just sets in there? And
creamy substance around a woman's private parts there?
It's basically the same thing that guys get if they're not circumcised. It's just debris.
Smegma.
Yeah.
It's a little organic buildup.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gross.
It's just debris.
Yeah.
Anyhow, okay, did you guys ever figure out what it is that happens when a woman squirts, when the orgasm is so great that they actually create a puddle?
Well, it's typically not that the orgasm is so great. We learned that by interviewing a lot of women who have this thing.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's urine, and sometimes it's just the fluid produced by the Skene's and Bartholin's glands.
Yeah. So it's either gland or it's urine.
Yeah.
All right. Amanda?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering what ecstasy does to your brain.
Well, what is it you understand it does?
Depression.
Yeah, that's what it can do.
Is that it?
It can cause memory problems, too. But the depression can be permanent. That's the problem.
How much have you done?
I've only taken it twice.
Yeah. Any problems with it?
No.
Well, why don't you lay off now? You're 15. Your brain is still growing at your age. And when people that study these things do find a lot more disruption of the brain growth and injury to the brain in people your age.
Do you plan on using your brain?
Yeah.
What do you want to get into?
When I grow up, I want to be a psychologist.
Psychologist?
All right. It's not, you're getting off course rapidly.
Okay.
Okay. So kind of get it together a little bit. If you can't, if you're using lots of drugs, if you're having trouble stopping, then think about a recovery program.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right, baby. Good times, huh? You doing okay in school?
Not really.
Yeah. No, that's also off course.
How are you going to be a psychologist if you don't get good grades?
I don't know.
Oh, all right.
Well, you got to start now because you're going to have to get into good college, then a good graduate school, and then a good residency program or training program, clinical program.
Can you get good grades if you never do get good grades? I don't know.
Yeah, some
I didn't know anyone who could.
Some people turn it around.
No one I knew.
I've known them.
No. Amanda?
Yeah?
Yeah, let's... I don't want to find you in junior college 5 years from now.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right. 10-1, she's in junior college. Drew, I never knew... You see, you went to school with people that had good grades, maybe let them slip for a while, and then maybe were able to bring their grades back up. But I went to school with guys who just did bad all the time, and there wasn't anything to really recover from. That was the norm.
Because the really bad performers would have been kicked out long.
It's really funny, though, when you say, you know, I don't say anything, and I always go along with it, but when you go, are your grades slipping? It doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah. It doesn't mean I never had a grade to slip.
It's already in the toilet.
It was just, you know, you got D's and you sprinkle a few F's in there, an occasional C in ceramics class.
Did you ever get a really good grade in something? Ever? Sixth grade plus.
Oh, from sixth grade on?
Yeah.
I could have got a B in PE,
no,
maybe.
I mean a class.
That was the one, though, you know, that's the one I think that used to fascinate my dad so much is I was kind of a jock and sort of a star football player, and I played Pop Warner football for 7 years, and I'd get a C in PE. And, of course, I'd do horribly in English and math and everything else.
Your self-concept was I'm C and beneath. Therefore, whatever level I'm performing in whatever class... Can't go past a C because I'm the C student.
Well, also, I think teachers start to get onto that and find out who you are. And I think they're filling the stuff out. And they're like, well, this guy, he did the same thing as everyone else, but he's a C student. So we'll give him a C and we'll give the guy an A.
I would go back to something that you say to people all the time, which is well, a lot of variables out there. There's only one variable that's fixed.
I'm talking about in a situation like PE. Like, I don't know why I got a C in PE.
Different coaches, probably every semester, different people.
No, same ones.
You weren't just a big jack off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I used to do stuff like come on out in a pair of jeans, and then the coach, who were really more Gestapo agents than they were PE coaches, a lot of frustrated ex-Marines and guys that were divorced and freaked out, they'd yell at me to go back in the locker room and put some shorts on, and I'd pull the shorts on over my jeans and come back out again.
Just out of curiosity, did you ever see anyone?
Well, that was good for a laugh, though.
It is good for laughs. It was
funny.
Important training for you. But be that as it may, did you ever see anyone who actually got like a B plus in PE or an A minus do that? Yes.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Didn't see a lot of those guys.
So let me get right. So the teachers had it out for you. Okay, got it. Check.
I did not.
I'm keeping notes here.
How dare you? I did not kiss the man's ass.
That's
I want to make that perfectly clear.
You avoided that at any cost.
But scholastically, there was never anywhere for me to slide. Me sliding, my grade slipping would just be from D to fail or possibly from fail to fail. There wasn't really anywhere
failed
to go.
Failed to expelled.
Yeah, I think I'd go from fail to toss out of the school. Yeah, so I never understand that or your grade slipping. And no, I never did get higher than a C in any class of any significance or meaning, if that's what you're asking.
That's what I was asking.
No.
Because what I was looking for, was there any teacher that connected with you, inspired you?
No.
Put some faith in you and you were
I couldn't do it. I couldn't read or write. Mm. There's nothing I could do. I never took algebra. I did all right in math. Math. Not algebra. Math.
Arithmetic, that's called.
Arithmetic.
Okay.
Senior year of high school in a math class, everybody.
Arithmetic.
Arithmetic.
Okay.
Multiplication tables, working on those.
Okay.
Yep. And here's the moral of the story, everybody. Millionaire. Literally millionaire. So, you do the arithmetic. Chris?
Yes.
You're 30.
Yeah.
What's up?
God. Tried to call you guys a couple times over the past year.
All right, here we are. What's going on?
Always miss you. By the way, I just want to say you guys do a great show. It's happy, it's sad, it's funny, educational, shocking. You guys should have been the reality show before the Survivors thing, that's for sure.
We were.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, you guys should have got the credit for it.
Whatever.
Coming out. Yeah.
Thanks,
exactly.
Buddy.
Okay. Whatever. Anyways, I just want to know if there is such a thing as an LSD baby. This is really kind of towards Dr. Drew.
Yeah, I've been looking for evidence of that. I've not seen any research that documents that. It may be, and it may be out there, and there may be such a thing, but I can't, from my fund of knowledge, can't say that it definitely exists.
Okay.
Meaning the mom did LSD?
No, the dad.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, there was some time, for a while, some concern that the LSD would cause some chromosome damages, but really what that creates is fertility problems. It does not create disturbed offspring.
Okay.
Well, okay. What's up with you?
Well, my mom left my dad when I was like 2 weeks old because she says, you know, there's, of course, both sides of their story. He says that she partied. She is the prudest person I've ever met. But she left him because she said he wouldn't stop doing LSD.
Right.
One of the nicknames that I had besides Beelzebub and Casper the Ghost as a child was Incoherent, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They said I'd just giggle and stare at the wall for hours, and they were really terrified of the whole family.
Beelzebub's that's a mouthful for a kindergartner.
No. I didn't call myself that. That's what my mom and everybody called me. It was a joke. You know, I'd always cry when I didn't know what the hell it meant. But
these weren't the jack-off friends of your weirdo parents? Not to be too obtuse about this, but you know what I mean?
No. My mom's family is not a bunch of weirdos. My mom left my dad because...
All right. Well, are you okay now?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because, you know, when you guys talk about LSD and stuff, you always say about the depression.
Yeah.
I know there's many different reasons for depression.
Well, being called the Beelzebub growing up's enough to make a guy depressed.
Well, I didn't know what Beelzebub was until I got older, and by that time I thought it was cool. You know, young guys, you know, Lucifer, Beelzebub, whatever. But the incoherent part is what I'm getting at. You know, my mom's family was always worried that, you know, and they were saying, God, is this kid okay? They always said that they were afraid that I was burned. Is what my mom would say.
Burned by what?
Yeah, the brain was burned
by
out.
My dad's acid.
No,
experiences.
No. But I wonder if your mom was doing something while you were...
Well, you know, and that's the thing, is my dad, years later, when I finally got to have a life with my father, got to know him and find out if he was really Satan incarnated on this planet, like my mom always said.
This guy works a lot of Satan angles into his show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's... My mother's thing.
All right, Chris. Chris, listen. I got to go to break, but here's what I'm going to tell you. You're not defective mentally. Wherever you're at has been caused by the environment and the environment you grew up in. There's nothing genetically wrong with you.
You may have had some minimal brain syndrome.
I don't freak the guy out.
So, I'm sorry. What was that?
You can do whatever you want. There's nothing internally wrong with you. You're now free to have a good, meaningful life.
Right. Well, I just want to know medically if there ever was anything, because the way you guys really get into it, I
know. No, not that I'm aware of.
All right. Let's take ourselves a break. I'm going to tell Drew more stories of my scholastic achievements, and we'll be back after this. What's up? It's Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Heading out to Fontana after the show, Drew.
Oh.
Why don't you tell people what just happened?
Drew made a stabbing grab for his microphone. Apparently, it's something that couldn't wait. He yanked on the mic, and the cord grabbed my coffee mug and dumped it all over the console and possibly onto Drew.
Is it going into the holes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't worry about it, though.
Here won't make any difference.
Yeah, it won't make any difference here. If this was another studio that had equipment that was not taken off a pre-World War II Soviet sub, it would probably make some difference. But this, although one problem you do run here at Westwood One is you short something out and they don't make these vacuum tubes anymore. They're hand-blown in the Soviet Union early 30s.
As I survey the scene here, the mess,
it's
kind of remarkable this is the first time this has happened.
And
remarkable.
We've dumped coffee before.
Not like this. Not in the grand scale like this.
No, this was an explosive, aggressive move Drew made toward my coffee cup. And no matter what he says, you'll never convince me that wasn't an attack. That was an attack that was meant for me, Drew. Anyway, what the hell are we talking about? Yeah, I'm going to Fontana tonight. Big NASCAR race tomorrow. Got to do a little man show business. So that'll be good, being on the road about 1:45 in the middle of Bum F Fontana. And you ready to go back to the phones?
Yeah.
Or we still got to wipe up here? Mike?
No, mine's fine. That was his that spilled.
Mike, you're 19.
Thanks. Yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, well, I'm, like, really into cycling, and, like, I race. And so because of that, I shave my legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a problem with, like, kind of inflamed, like, ingrown hairs where my seams of, like, my clothes, my jeans and stuff.
So you shave with, like, a razor?
Yeah.
Do you shave for cuts or do you shave for wind resistance?
Wind resistance.
What's cuts mean?
Well, if you
get road rash.
Yeah, if you have a hairy leg and you go down on your bike and cut yourself up,
it rubs more.
And you got a lot of hair on you, it's kind of a mess, you know?
Yeah.
Which is part of it.
Well, this is what women deal with all the time.
How about you get some of those, like, Lycra spandex things and pull them up?
I mean, I wear those anyway.
You can get lasered in that area?
You wear those and you shave?
What about the stuff that you use?
Yeah. Hey, they got this bump juice you can put on your troubled areas.
Okay.
Kind of works after you shave.
New skin.
No, it's called something else now. But, Mike.
Yeah.
Go to a beauty supply place.
Oh, great.
And
Ten skin.
Listen, you.
Ten skin, that's it.
It's not called that anymore. You shave your legs. What do you care? You're halfway to womanhood already. Go to the beauty supply place and tell them you want something for razor burn and shaving bumps and ingrown hairs. They'll give you a little something. Then after you shave, you just take a little cotton ball and dab it on, and it cuts it way down.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
There you go.
Good times.
Thanks.
All right. Mm. Let's talk to Heather, who's 19. Heather?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me give you my theory about guys who get really into stuff, especially like the leg shaving and stuff. I think they do it so that people can go, why'd you shave your legs? And then they can give them the long spiel about racing bikes.
Hmm.
I really don't think the wind resistance is that much at the level that he's at. He's not in the velodrome at the Olympic level. Heather?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, before I get to my question, my sister just wants me to tell you, Adam, that you're the sexiest guy in the world.
How old's your sister? 9?
She's
22.
Nice. I've you know, there's been much speculation surrounding that for many years, but never any confirmation until now.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
Think about what that says about women and how they assess attraction. Just put your history into that little.
You know, I am tired of being called a physically unattractive man when there's nothing wrong with me.
I'm not saying that.
Thank you.
I'm just saying that in high school you couldn't buy that kind of the compliment.
Hell no.
And now because you're of stature, the perception has totally changed.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
My less than D average did not turn the ladies on with this, combined with the ceramics major. Heather?
Yes?
All right. So what's your question?
Okay. I moved up from San Diego to Costa Mesa, California to go to school like 8 months ago.
Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa. It's near Huntington.
Orange Coast?
Yeah, I went to Orange Coast College.
Ooh. Community college.
Ooh, yeah.
And I met a boy up there and we started dating. But I got in a fight with my dad, so I had to move back home to my mom's house. But we're still together. But I don't know if it's going to work out because we fight all the time about us going out. And I want to kiss another guy to see if it's really still there or not.
See if what's really still there, your tongue?
No, my feelings for him, because it's like up there, he was like my everything. I hung out with him all the time. And now that I don't see him as much, I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, but if you're asking those questions,
you're done. You're done.
Well, no, because, okay, I really, really like him.
Like him is the operant word here. This is the best friend theory.
Yeah.
The best friend theory.
How far away is the Orange Coast College from where you are?
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's an eternity at 19. You're done. It's over. Put a fork in it. It's all done.
Okay.
You believe me, you're not going to marry this guy.
He was your everything for the same reason that your best friend lived next door when you were growing up.
Yes. I was going to say very good point, but that's my point.
I'm making your point for you.
Yeah.
I offered you the prompt and you didn't go for it.
So. Well, look at it this way. Why does everyone's best friend magically live across the street or next door to them growing up? Why? They're not their best friend. They're the dude who lives across the street from them.
That you spend a lot of time with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the best friend sits behind him in high school or in junior high. But when you get older, you get to really find out who your best friends are, because it has nothing to do with proximity or location. And oftentimes relationships drag out of high school and they go on longer than they need to. And everyone gets that way. Women have it and men have it equally. But we're telling you, and Drew, you'll shout this from the highest mountain.
It's over.
It's over. And the average high school, first year of college relationship probably goes on 8 to 12 months longer than it should.
Average.
Average. We'll take a break.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Yep, Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Anderson, who won that Kings game? Oh.
Kings won?
Yeah.
Wow.
Overtime.
Another big OT victory for the Kings.
Where'd they come from this year?
Don't know. Don't care. But wish them all the luck in the world. That's the great thing about L.A. fans is we don't move until something moves first.
Yeah.
We ain't going out and supporting losers. They didn't have the top 1% of the a-holes nationally move to L.A. to support a 500 hockey team.
Yeah.
We wait until the second round, then we start to get up. And but the good news is about L.A. fans, the second something becomes somebody or a team or anything becomes a winner, they jump right on.
And they'll pay a fortune for tickets. And
they'll pay for the tickets. Yeah. You'll see a lot of Kings jerseys around town, and it'll be Kings mania if they can win this second round of the playoffs.
The Penguins also won.
Ooh. The Penguins won, too, which must be Anderson's team. Yeah. Yeah. Pittsburgh, I'll tell you, that town has diehard sports fans and has more champions in that smallish city compared to just about any other city.
Of that size, yeah.
Yeah, you think about the Steelers dynasties the Pirates and the Penguins. Jesus, they don't have a basketball team, though, do they? Mm. Never did they?
Hello?
Bridget?
Yeah. I have a list of questions, but each time I call, I'll just knock one off, so that's why I'm going to keep calling back. But I can't go to rehab until I'm off probation. And this kid was on the other night, and he was like 15, and you told him that if he got addicted to opiates now, that it would be almost impossible for him to come back from.
At 15, it makes it very difficult. If you've been using heavily since the age of 15...
16.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult. Makes it very difficult.
Okay. And I was also wondering, if my husband won't get sober, is it going to be like, am I going to have to make a choice between him or being sober?
Probably.
Because he's from Florida, and he'll move to Florida, and he'll take me to court over the baby, and he'll probably use this against me.
But if you're sober and he's not, and you're the mom, I think it will not be a big problem.
What are you into, heroin?
Opiates. I mean,
pain
pills, Oxycontin.
Vicodin.
Uh-huh. And your husband's into booze?
Yeah. I called the other night about my husband. Or it was about going to rehab with my kid.
Right.
And you're on probation right now?
Yeah. I've been on it for 3 years, and I'll probably be off in about 2 months
What are you on probation for?
A pound of weed.
Okay.
And I have 400 hours of community service. In 5 years of probation.
Okay. What'd you do in your community service?
Well, the first about 100 hours, I worked at an animal hospital, or, a humane society, and then the rest of it, I worked at the Lord's Kitchen, where we feed the hungry. He would give me hours when I didn't really... As long as I went, he would just, every time I went to get a paper, he would say, how many hours do you want me to put down?
Oh, that's nice. So he'd shave hours. Your probation officer...
Yeah.
Or your hours tabulator?
Yeah.
What's else on your question list tonight?
I got it's a bunch of different questions, but this is like the only ones I have for tonight. Yeah. I really don't understand why if you're so young, why is it harder to...
Well, one of the sort of fundamental issues is that during adolescence, your brain is developing, and you're usually also developing coping and hitting developmental milestones. And if you're loaded, if your brain isn't functioning normally, you don't go through, both your brain doesn't grow the way it normally should, and you don't go through the psychological milestones. So basically, when you come off the drugs, you are developmentally 14, or wherever you were when you started using drugs. And to grow up again from a young adolescent as an adult is very challenging.
Yeah, I got a plan. It just struck me. You know how I'd like the government run like a casino, essentially?
Yeah.
High rollers get the big suites and the comped buffet. And as you know, I put myself in the high roller club tax-wise.
Yeah. No kidding.
I'm going to shell out $500,000-$600,000 worth of taxes in any given year. Feel like I should get a little extra.
Yeah.
A little extra bang for my buck. A little something from Uncle Sam.
Sure.
Instead of abuse. Another parking ticket and the garbage man throwing that baby into reverse and hearing that beeping sound about 6:10 every goddamn Friday morning.
Yeah.
Here's my plan, Drew.
Yeah.
How do you think this would fly with the taxpayers? We take some of these people, get these large community service settlements, you know, let's say 50 hours plus, send them over to my pad.
All right, sure.
A little yard work, detail the jag, make me some lemonade, and put them to use.
Well, you let them watch the big screen TV.
No.
I know how you are. You'd be friendly eventually. You'd kick their ass a little bit.
I'd be good to them. Listen, I wouldn't turn the TV off if they were vacuuming or dusting in the den.
Of course.
But I'm just saying, instead of sending these guys down to the soup kitchen or off to the roadside, essentially helping people who aren't paying the taxes, you know, these people have a debt to pay to society. I look at me as more society than the guy at the soup kitchen.
I think what you're basically saying is the people that are being served at the soup kitchen ought to also come to your house and be of service.
I'll leave them alone. They can just stay at the soup kitchen and serve themselves.
Okay.
But let's send some of these offenders over my way. Put them to work in the yard. I'm going to look into this, Drew.
Utopia.
I think I might have something here. A little incentive to get into the High Rollers Club. Keith?
Yeah, hi.
You're 16. What's up?
Well, okay. I've been friends with this guy, and I'm gay. And he's gay. And we've kind of been, like, talking, you know? And I was having a bad day, and I called him. And he was like, well, come over Saturday, and I'll cook you dinner, and I'll make you feel better. And my question is he wanting to cheer me up, you know, to make me feel better as a friend, or is he wanting romance, or...
Sounds like he wants a little romance.
Yeah. I'm kind of like getting mixed signals.
How old is he?
He's 18.
Is he on his own?
No, he's with his parents.
He's going to cook him and his gay buddy some dinner over at the folks' place?
Well, like, they don't care. He's out, and, like, they don't care. They're really supportive.
I see. Well, I guess one advantage to having your gay son come out is that you have a gourmet chef full-time at the house.
Well, yeah, he does, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, what I was saying is, like, because he was like, I feel bad for you, and I was wondering if he was just, like, feeling pity for me, or...
Well, I think he's interested in something. Do you like him?
Well, yeah, he's really great and everything.
I think it's moving forward.
Yeah.
I think, relax.
Yeah.
Yeah, game on.
Enjoy.
Well, and I'm kind of scared, too. Like, what if I get over there, and he's, like, all great and romantic looking, and I go to kiss him, and then he backs off?
Well, listen, Keith, these are the kinds of ambivalence you're going to have every time you enter into every relationship. You're sort of feeling each other out and figuring out where you want to go, and it's always unpleasant, well, uncomfortable, and anxiety-provoking. So just relax. Move forward.
Okay.
If you don't take these risks, you're never going to have a decent relationship.
Yeah. Are his folks going to be there?
Well, no.
Oh, they're not?
No.
How do you know they're not going to be there?
Because he already told me they wouldn't be there.
Ooh. He's into something here.
Well, no, he told me that there was going to be, like, no whatever going on. So.
What did he say?
I was like, I'm feeling really down. And he was like, well, come over and I'll make you feel better. And he was like, not sexually. And I was like, okay. So.
Yeah. You could read that a couple ways.
Yeah. There needs to be, like, a gay English dictionary.
The mere fact that he brings up the sex.
Yeah. But that's how we'd interpret a women's thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just letting you know up front, I'm not into that kind of thing. But the fact that she brings it up, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Go number two and take a good shower before you head over there just to play it safe.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
All right, good times there, buddy.
Thanks.
And listen, if you get into anything, you know, use the condom, right?
Yeah, definitely.
God bless.
All right.
Bye.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right. All right. Yeah. I mean, since when does a gay guy kick the parents out, tell the other gay guy, come on over, I'll make you dinner?
Yeah. For nothing. For friendship?
Yeah. Here's how you know the gay guy wants in.
18-year-old, too, not a 16-year-old.
Here's how you know he wants in the underpants. And Keith...
Do guys wear underpants?
Thong back. Thong back, yeah. Gay guys? Yeah, thong back. With a tassel fringe. Sequins. Yeah. When he says...
zebra pattern?
Zebra, yeah. Or sometimes leopard.
Good times.
Leopard skin.
Good times.
When he goes, you want to get high?
No, you're cool.
If he asks if you want to get high, then that's game on sexually. That's the gay man's move.
Maybe you ought to publish, instead of the gay aptitude test, which you, which has seemed to fade into oblivion somehow.
But everything does.
Maybe there ought to be a gay Corolla or gay English dictionary. You know, interpret. I think like a little computer that interprets translation unit. Some.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah. You just punch in. Do you want to get high?
Yeah.
Translation. Can I blow you?
That's right. It translates for you automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we get high?
Ryan.
Yes.
You're 18.
I am.
What's up?
First of all, I want to say I always hear people say, "Adam, I love you," and "Drew, you're cool." I think that's the opposite for me because I totally respect you, Drew. You give like my generation so much advice. It's cool.
Thanks, Ryan.
My situation is my parents have been divorced for 2 years now, and it just happened their divorce was final on my sweet 16 birthday, which was fun. But back in 97, I was like a freshman in high school. I found an email that my mom had written a guy up in Chicago. I was living in Florida at the time.
Good times.
Just pretty much asking him, like, you know, why aren't you interested in me anymore? Is it because I was aggressive and bad, this and that and the other?
Oh, boy.
Pretty much I found out that she was cheating on my dad with a guy up here.
All right.
Like, I actually met him. She took me to meet him, too, which was a double whammy.
Did you know that that was the guy at the time?
Not at the time. I didn't, like, I found out about 3 or 4 months after she had did it.
Yeah.
Because I was just cleaning through our computer. I'm a computer nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it'll be 2 years in this September. My dad got married like 5 months after they got divorced.
So he was probably seeing someone too.
Yeah, well, after, like, once they started talking about divorce again, he was seeing them again, or seeing somebody. And he got married on my parents' anniversary, which really hurt me too.
Jesus, what are you, why are you such a glutton for punishment? I mean, Drew, do you know when your parents' anniversary is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what month it is?
April, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, my parents got divorced before Christ was born. But I have no idea when it was, and I don't care. what do you care? I mean, I understand they're your parents and all that, but like the anniversary. That, you know?
All right, but she's tormenting herself. All right.
Yeah, why do that?
Point taken. So what else going on?
Well, since he got married, like, I had moved in with him right before he got married because my school situation was pretty horrible. So I was like, let's go to a different school and see if things will get better.
What was wrong with your school situation?
I was just skipping school all the time, not wanting to be there.
Because you were so depressed from all this family stuff?
Kind of, yeah. I just kind of found, like, my friends, like, as my escape, and they were always doing it, so...
All right, so what are we building to here? What's the question?
Okay, well, the thing is like, my mom was all upset because of the way my dad handled the situation. She said he couldn't wait until the divorce was final or anything to move in with her or wait until date until divorce was final or anything.
And she's concerned about that because of how it affected you?
Pretty much. Like, because we didn't know that they were engaged or anything until they were almost married.
So she is seeing how this is upsetting you.
Yes.
And then she's sort of piggybacking on that and colluding with you and talking to you about how awful the dad is, so she doesn't feel guilty about what she had done.
Yeah, so my question is how do I appropriately bring to her, how can you, say this about my dad if he's happy now and get all angry at him if you were going to do the same exact thing?
First of all, set up some groundwork rules about and set some boundaries with your mom. You're both my parents. I love you both. So for you to begin... colluding with me because it makes you feel better doesn't help me. It hurts me.
Yeah.
And then point out to her, and if she gets weird about it, you might remind her that she was involved in something long before things went down with the divorce.
Yeah, I tell you, when these parents start working each one against the kid,
The worst thing of all. I mean, it's just the worst thing.
Yeah. How selfish, how retarded do you have to be? Yeah. You can't get past that.
Yeah.
You got to draw your kid into this and start brainwashing the kid and giving them screwed up ambivalent feelings. Mm-hmm. Are you running for goddamn Senate?
Hey, it's all exploitation. You're exploiting your kids to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, just leave the kid alone.
Yeah.
Your marriage didn't work out. He took off with someone else. You were trying to get in, you know, with somebody else. I mean, just leave the kid out of it. My God. Brandon?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yep.
What's up?
All right. Whenever me and my girlfriend have sex, if I orgasm inside of her, she says it really burns her.
Mm.
And, and then after that, if she tries to go pee, that, like, stings.
Well, that's probably just the irritation of the whole area around the vagina. And yeah, and listen, there is such a thing as allergy or sort of an intolerance to some guy's semen. Have you thought about maybe wearing a condom?
Well, she's already on birth control, so I figured it would just be, like, an allergic reaction to that or something.
There's a syndrome known as demon seed.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the only way to cure that is to perform an exorcism over the testes.
Be that as it may, she may also have some other sort of inflammation or infection there. Has she seen a doctor lately?
Well, she goes to get the shot every 3 months, and I think they check her out for all.
Well, make sure they do a pelvic exam them. And by the way, the shot can cause all sorts of vaginal dryness and things. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if she went off the shot and went onto something that had estrogen, or went on the shot that contained estrogen as well as progesterone. That some of that irritability, that irritation of the vagina, might not settle down. I'd be the last thing I would sort of brush it off as is allergy.
Drew, how many times a show do you think you average saying the word vagina?
Mm-hmm. Six.
Six?
Yeah.
I mean, the over under is 9.8.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, some nights are around 15. Yeah, it could be.
Mm-hmm. Eight. You ever think there's a night when you don't do any?
Probably not under one or two.
Not under one? So you never say, like, the, not half.
Not
a
half. No, not a 0.8. Vag.
Brittany?
Yeah, I'm 17, and I've been using narcotics and alcohol since I was 13.
Good times.
Yeah, and since I've gotten clean, I've been clean for a month. I've been having these crazy nightmares.
Using nightmares?
No, like, just nightmares, just things that scare me, like ghosts and monsters and weird stuff.
Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not on any medications.
Hmm. What drug?
I used to be on Prozac, but my doctor took me off of it.
What drugs were you using?
Acid, drinking occasionally.
Mm.
Well, more than occasionally. Smoking, but almost every day.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so now I'm in, like, AA, NA, and I've been clean for a month, and I've been getting these nightmares. But I don't remember dreaming at all through using.
Well, your sleep becomes severely disrupted by drug use, and everyone that stops using drugs will have disordered sleep for up to about 6 months. And most people, the quality of that disruption is that they arouse very, very frequently. So they feel like, even though if we were to watch you sleeping through the night, to us you would be lying there snoring. To you, you would feel like you've been up all night. Because every 5 minutes you'd kind of arouse and wake up a little bit, or the quality of the sleep would be very poor. With that, there's also oftentimes very disturbing dreams, often around using, and it's your brain healing. It's your brain coming back to life, and give it some time. It'll take a few months, but it will get better.
I'll tell you something that helped me with my dreams, Drew, is I keep a notepad on my nightstand.
Yeah,
and if I have a bad dream, I will wake up. And I will write down what happened in the bad dream. And then the following morning, I'll tear the sheet off the notepad and use it as a bib when I whack off.
Or, I thought you were going to say toilet paper, but bib is a little more biblical.
That offered some closure.
I could see that.
For me.
I would have a series of weird dreams and kept a tape recorder by my bed. I think I've mentioned this to you before. And,
really?
Yeah, so I'd get up in the middle of the night and I'd dictate
Christ.
Off what it was just happened, because I could never remember it in the morning. And the first time I did this, I went running for the tape recorder first thing in the morning. I was excited to hear what it was I'd said. And what I heard was this. It was nice. Good times.
There was a recipe for gazpacho on that, right? You know, I always get, I don't know where I rate the people that get nutty about keeping track of your dreams, but somewhere in with the tantric sex people and the ghost
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And the UFO people. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those neither here nor there. Yeah. You know what I like? I like when the dream experts are on some talk show and somebody calls in and they get an argument with them about how they dream. Like the person will call them and go, Dr. Jackson, dream expert. I don't dream. I don't think, oh, yes, you do. Everyone dreams. Well, I never remember them. And sometimes I dream and other nights, oh, no, you dream every night. Every night you dream. Every mammal dreams. And the person's like, well, I guess I just don't. They all dream. It's like somehow if people didn't dream, their business would dry up or something. I'm always like, okay, who cares? What the hell is this supposed to do for you?
Yeah.
Listen, here's what you do. You have a bad dream. You get up. You feel for your junk. It's still there. You go back to bed. That's right. That's how it works.
Sure.
We'll take a little break. Drew, you dreaming of urination right now?
Oh, vividly.
All right. We'll be back.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Drew's fired up, everybody. Look out. Hell hath no fury like a passionate, passionate, passionate man scorn, everybody. Drew is fired up over here. I was just thinking about something last night, and sometimes I think, I've made this announcement a few times on this show, nobody is less into their career than you or me. At least in a sort of out-of-it way. Sure, we'd like to make some money and like everything to go well, but never know what's going on. Jonathan Scheck came in here last night.
Yeah.
And he sat down, and right before the show started, he said...
This is funny.
Jonathan Scheck is that good-looking guy from that Thing You Do movie. He was the real serious one. He'd done a ton of movies, and he's in the Forsaken movie, which is coming out this Friday. And he's a real nice guy. And he sat down here just before the show started, and he said, we're talking about something. And he said, well, it's no after sex.
Yeah.
And Drew and I both kind of looked and smiled and looked back down again. And he made like another comment, like, it's not after sex. Drew and I sat there and sort of paused. There was like a little silence.
I thought he was talking about something about something you do after sex.
We weren't sure what his reference was, but it was a little uncomfortable. Yeah. We didn't want to tell him. We didn't know what he was talking about. He was talking about a movie that he was in that we were in together.
We were featured in.
That we were featured in. There was a Brooke Shields movie, and there's a few other people in it, and we didn't know the name of it.
Hey, listen, that happened last night, right?
Drew, how many movies have you been in?
I don't know.
That's it, right?
I don't even know. I guess that's it.
The only movie
I think that's it, yeah.
The only feature film you've ever been in.
As far as I know is that.
And you don't know the title of it?
No.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay, there you go. And what's it? It's been in the video stores for a year and a half now?
You want to, what's even weirder? What did you write down right here?
After sex?
I saw you writing that down as the thing started, and I thought... Is he going to talk about something that happened after sex? Still didn't get it. Still did not get it.
Jesus Christ. That's so funny. All right, Drew. You got to get a publicist back. Nina?
Yeah?
Well, certainly because we can't handle our own ass. You know what I'm saying?
You're 14. What's up?
Okay. I'm calling because, I don't know, I don't know if it's something wrong with me or whatever, but... Like, all through elementary school, I had just basically guy friends. And now, I'm in eighth grade, and, none of the guys at my middle school have, ever found me attractive because I'm still friends with, a lot of guys. And I've asked them, do you know anyone who's ever had a crush on me? And they're like, no. Mm. No, you're just Nina.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it just kind of bothers me.
So you're the guy's guy.
Yeah.
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 The guy's got a girl. The guy's
right.
Girl.
Right. All right.
You're 14. There's a whole long way to go here.
Yeah.
I know, but at summer camp, I've had a couple kind of fling relationship things, but I know that's just because people are really desperate at summer camp.
No. Yeah. You got to think a little more of yourself than that. Did you go to a very small school?
No, not really. There's about
2,000 people there.
You know, they always name those summer camps after Indians and things like that. Camp Gitche Gumee and stuff like that. They would really just call it what it is. Like, they would want to just call it Camp Hunk, Bunk Rape.
Camp Hump.
Well, that may be mistaken for an Indian name, too. But
well, that's the point.
Everybody gets something in camp.
Well, yeah.
Even folks who don't get stuff on the outside, like yourself, get something in camp, right?
HPV.
Yeah. That's right, crabs.
Crabs, yeah.
You're in the ninth grade or ninth grade?
Eighth grade.
Yeah. Just relax. Just keep your eyes open. Maybe maybe ask some guys out a little bit.
Yeah. I've tried that. Yeah. It didn't work.
Look, I know it sounds like a bad position to be in right now, being a young girl and not having guys coming after you, and you see the other girls that the guys are all over.
It's a godsend.
In the big picture,
it's a godsend.
It ain't going to hurt you. Yeah. It'll be good for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nina has got as my witness.
On many levels.
I remember the handful of very popular girls that had guys going nuts for them in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. It burns them out. It jades them. It screws them up. They get pregnant and bad skin by the time they're 17.
Yeah.
Yes. This is going to be good in the big picture. I know it may not sound great right now. And also, what every one of those supermodels we speak to, what's her rap? Awkward, tomboy.
No date for the prom.
No date for the prom. No date for the prom. Why? I was doing coke with an Arab guy in Milan. That's why you had no date for the prom. You're in France, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I never buy that crap. I know all models go to some sort of conditioning school.
Some sort of finishing school to tell them what to say to the public.
Remember when we went to media training?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
I think they sit them down and they go,
here's your app.
And class, what if somebody asked you what you were like in high school? Yes, yeah, Sarah. Well, I was popular and had many. No! No. You were a tomboy. You were long and gawky, and you had no date for the prom.
Hadn't grown into my looks yet.
All right, and let's move on to the next question. What if someone asks you how you got into modeling? Jane, yes, your hand's up. I thought I was pretty hot when I was about 15. I took a good long look in the mirror, and I went down to the local. No, no, your best friend signed you up. You had no intentions of it. You wanted to be, let's see, something with animals. Something with animals. Some sort of animal doctor, trainer. You wanted to work as something that didn't pay too good and wasn't too glamorous. But your friend signed you up for the modeling.
Right.
And
always my friends on a dare.
On a dare, you did it. And
it was a contest, and I won, and somebody saw me. There you go.
That's what happened. All right, class dismissed. Let's all go vomit and meet back here in 15 minutes. During nutrition, we'll do some heroin. Charles?
Yes.
You're 36.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I'm calling about to find out what my chances of survival are. I've had 6 open-heart surgeries. I was born with transposition of the greater vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And my last surgery was real rough for me. I had edema throughout my whole body, and it left me with nerve damage in my left leg,
mm-hmm.
which is a dropped foot.
Mm-hmm.
Causes me a lot of pain in my back. But anyway, they're saying I have a blockage in one of my valves now,
mm-hmm.
and I'll possibly need a 7th open-heart surgery. They say that technology has come quite a ways in the last 10 years. And
so you haven't had any surgery since you were a lot younger?
Not since I was... 24.
Oh, yeah. And what was that procedure?
It's been 11 years. the way it was explained to me was they took out one of my main valves, which...
The last procedure you're talking about now.
Yes, they took out the way the doctor described it was the push side of your heart.
Yeah.
They took that valve out.
Yeah.
So, which also makes me think, which valve now has got the blockage? Would it be the receiving valve?
Well, all right. He's talking about transposition of the great vessels, which means you have an artery going out to the lungs and an artery going out to your body, the aorta.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain cardiac anomalies, they switch.
Mm-hmm.
They're hooked up the wrong way.
Yeah.
So you got to rehook them. You got to immediately switch it back over.
Isn't that the kind of thing that would kill you at birth?
Very quickly. But if they recognize it quickly enough, you can.
So you got open heart surgery when you were 2 weeks old?
11 months old. I had my first closed heart. I had holes between the inside chambers.
So that was the way he was able even to survive was there's mixing. So yeah. he had what's called a ventricular septal defect.
Born blue.
And so there'd be stuff coming in unoxygenated, and some would go back to the lungs, and some would go out forward to the body.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be enough oxygenation to keep him going.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you want to know how long you're going to live?
What my chances of survival?
What did they tell you? What the chest surgeons tell you?
They said there should be no problem.
I would agree.
But
these are surgeries. Listen, valvular surgeries. There's sort of no age limitation on valvular surgery these days. They're so effective. And you can do them on 90-year-olds, and they come through. And you're talking about probably the aortic valve, plus the valve, one of the outflow valves, rather than the inflow, the tricuspid or the mitral valves, which and those even these days are being done without surgeries. Those are being done.
The mitral or the in valves?
That's what I was wanting to know. Also, the possibilities of the being done with non-invasive.
No.
Just catheters. And
no, unlikely.
So yeah.
Yeah, And again, the question is, are they going to repair the valve or replace the valve? And though they're getting more and more towards repair, but listen, these are surgeries that are done very commonly now, and outcomes are extremely good.
Did you say the mitrals were the in ones?
Mitral's the in, yeah.
Hmm. Hey, Charles.
Why does it bother you? Mitral. It's a
mitral.
Like a mitral cap. Like it's like the Pope's cap.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He wears the mitral hat.
Yeah.
And mitol, that's something else. That's for post-period, pre-period stuff. Charles?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm no heart surgeon, but I'm thinking like a good plumber, and I'm thinking they need to put an access opening in your chest.
Yeah.
Why get the rib spreader out and cut the skin each time?
Yes.
And they could just flap that little access open and get to your ball valves. All right. It sounds all right. I mean, it doesn't sound great.
No, you're going to be fine.
But you'll be fine.
Right on. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
And pray.
All right, I'll pray.
Hey, I was wondering, what's the chance of getting a surgery like that televised?
I wouldn't know.
50-50.
Man Show probably would do a bit about it, wouldn't you think?
Who?
Yeah. How dare you with who? You want me to pray for you or not?
Right.
Why do you want to get it televised?
I don't know, in case I don't make it.
Same impulse that caused him to call us tonight. But listen, if after it's all done, let us know. Call us back.
Okay. Someone, Juan, is calling in. He's 22. He has an answer as to why good Mexican food was destroyed with that goddamn sour cream, although Drew enjoys it.
Yes.
Juan?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Juan, you're 22. What's happening?
Yeah, I haven't answered your question.
All right.
Well, basically, we actually have a cream that we put on our food. It's not sour cream. You know, and that's what I said the same thing. What the hell is this that they're putting on our food?
What do you Mexicans put on your food?
It's a cream. I'm not sure how it's made, but it's a different, totally different type of cream, more smooth. And it's good. It's actually good with our tacos and our meat and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sour cream it's nasty. I don't see how people eat that.
No, white trash. That's what it is right there.
Yeah.
My Chicano brother.
You can get that at these small grocery stores that, you know, they either make it themselves or they bring it from Mexico.
Yeah, well, if you live in L.A. or in Texas or Arizona, you'll probably find some nice, they got those Mexican stores. Yeah, you know what I love? My favorite thing about the Mexican stores is, especially the in the butcher department, they got the pig.
And the whole thing?
Yeah, they got the whole thing, but no, the drawing up in front of the Mexican butcher.
Yeah.
It ain't a pig, it's Mr. Pig. Mr. Pig, he's wearing an apron,
right.
And he's chasing Mrs. Chicken around with an axe.
Yeah, or with a cleaver.
Yeah. And there's Mrs. Cow over there, and she's on the lamb, too, because Mr. Pig has gone off with the cleaver, and I think, I don't know. Drawing a mustache on a pig when I'm going to go in there and buy some pork chops.
Nice
and
chef hat on the pig.
Putting a chef hat on the guy and a barbecue apron, pair of wingtip shoes. Not a great angle for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to question their culture, but as an American... I like to think of, see, that's why we call a pig, that's why we call it pork. We don't want to think pig. We don't want to call it Mr. Pig.
Right.
I don't want to think about Charlotte's Web while I'm eating some pork chops. Yeah, it's interesting. Very lively over there. Yeah, you go in there and you get that nice stomach intestine and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Tripe.
I'll tell you, those Mexicans know how to eat, but they must die of a heart failure at like in their mid-30s.
With all the fat.
I mean, do they?
Yeah,
has anyone done a study on that?
Heart disease, yeah.
Wait, it's just beef, and more beef, cheese on everything. Everything's got cheese. You know, it's just fat, and I mean, don't they? I never hear about those studies. I mean, I hear about them doing the studies on Eskimos and Japanese. What they got on the Mexicans?
I don't know.
I bet they're going early.
Not a fan.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question about orgasms.
All right.
Like, during sex, I have a hard time getting them. Like, I don't get them very often from my partners that I've had sex with before.
During intercourse, maybe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, like, why that is, or, like,
well, you're 19. The majority of 19-year-olds don't have orgasm during... 19-year-old females don't have orgasm during sex.
Really?
Yeah.
What about during oral sex?
Nothing at all.
Ooh.
Turns me off big time.
Turns you off.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Were you sexually or physically abused at all?
When I was 4 and when I was in junior high.
Okay. Because did you say something about needing rough sex?
Yeah.
And that need for high levels of stimulation. See, I bet if she hadn't been abused, she'd be one of these people that could orgasm during intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow that sort of created a need for high levels of arousal.
Uh-huh.
In order for it to happen, sort of burned out the arousal system.
Uh-huh.
And now she needs high levels of arousal, but it's still only during intercourse that the proper arousal occurs.
Well, it's kind of sucky because then I'm like really like irritated down there and it like burns when I urinate.
Ouch. Mm.
Who molested you?
When I was little, the pastor's daughter at my church played with me.
How old was she?
She was around my age.
Mm. Yeah.
And then my sister's fiance took advantage of me.
What did he do? Did he have sex with you?
No, but he forced himself on me.
Oof.
Not like he didn't have sex, but he like
came on to you.
Yeah, everything else but that.
Well, you had oral sex with him?
Yeah.
Well, this is your sister's fiance.
Yeah.
Did she eventually marry him?
No, I actually confronted her about it like 5 years later, and she didn't dump him, but she thought that I had like seduced him or something.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a pretty whacked out family, don't you?
Yeah, no, it's not too bad.
Yeah. It is kind of bad, though.
I guess. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
I always wonder where these guys get the balls.
I know.
I mean, they're engaged. How much older is your sister than you?
She's 5 years.
Mm.
And he's like 3 or 4 years older than her.
8 years older than this girl.
Your sister's 18. He's 21.
And he like also molested my best friend. I don't know. I told her. I was like, if you don't believe me, you know, you can talk to Lindsay. And she's like, no. She's like, I don't know. She was just really stunned by the whole thing. Worth it to her to...
She get rid of this guy eventually?
Yeah. No, it wasn't worth it. So
she did.
She didn't do it. She stayed with him.
She's still with him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do they have kids?
No.
Oh, good. I hope this guy's sack gets caught in some heavy piece of equipment.
Yeah, they have a hard time with monogamy.
Both of them.
Yeah.
That's why your sister's with him.
What's up with your screwball? Your family's a mess, right?
Yes.
My parents are not too bad.
Something's up. Why would your sister get involved with this, felon?
I don't know.
All right.
She thinks she can't do better. I have no idea.
What's your dad do for a living?
He's like a carpenter, but he does like maintenance work for the city.
Yeah. Yeah. Lowest breed of slime. Maintenance guys. Yeah. The journeyman carpenters make fun of the maintenance guys.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Maintenance guys. It's a jack of all trades, a master of none. That's what that maintenance guy is. Maintenance guys are bad carpenters. They just basically put Band-Aids on everything. All right. Just imagine the huevos on the dude, though. He's engaged. He's going to have a pass at the 13-year-old. It's not like she's mute. You know what I mean? I mean, chicks in the seventh grade.
Yeah, she go. She could.
Hey, you'd be fully expecting you to have a pass at her, yeah. Force yourself at her, and before you made it home, she'd spout it off to mom and sister.
Here's the strange
where
reality.
Where does that come in?
Here's the really bizarre reality. If you or I took a pass at someone, an adult.
We'd be doing time.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Lightning round. That's right, kiddies. Lightning round. We'll be back.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Love Line right now, smack dab in the middle of the lightning round, the fastest 9 minutes of radio. Let's check the time real bad. It's 11:49 in 10 seconds. That's 10 minutes and 50 seconds away from the top of the hour. Right now, right up the window. And right in the middle of the lightning round, let's go to the phone, see if we can help out some of the youth of America. Let's say hello to Drew. Jim.
Jim?
Hey, Jim? Hello, let's check time again real fast here. Drew's out of gym over there. I'm smoking the weed. It's 11:49 and 40 seconds. That's 10 minutes and 20 seconds away from the top of the hour. You're smack down in the middle of the line. You're on me. It's Dr. Drew. Hot man. Mike?
Hello?
Mike, you're 25. You're on the line around me.
What's up, Mike?
When me and my wife have intercourse, she tears.
She tears.
She tears.
Why does she tear?
Velcro crotch.
Why?
It's how does she tear? She. I don't. She. I guess. When we have intercourse, she tears to the point to where we can't. Sometimes we have to stop having sex.
Yeah, I tell you there, Mike, I never torn myself a woman. I take that as a compliment right there. You don't got a Johnson, you got a wrecking ball. That's good time. Let's check time real bad. 11:50 and 40 seconds. That's 9 minutes and 20 seconds away from the top of the hour. Straight up at midnight. Yeah,
are you just saying that you irritate her so much that towards the back there where the sort of back of the opening is, it starts getting irritating and feeling like it's tearing?
Well, it does, to me, it don't feel like it's tearing, but to her, it does. Yeah,
it's not tearing, okay? Yeah. Not unless there's
But Mike, why don't you get a little lubrication on there?
Right.
I've done that. I mean, I went down there and I've orally pleased her to the point where she's just dripping.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, Mike?
That's your saliva that's dripping all over the place.
You can go down on your engine block, too. That don't mean you ain't going to throw a rut. You know what I'm saying? You got to put some oil in that crankshaft.
Okay.
All right. I mean, Zach, if you're that, let's hop in the chat real fast. It is 11:51 and 30 seconds. That's 8 minutes and 30 seconds away from the top of the hour, straight up. Smack dab in the middle of the fastest 8.5 minutes radio. Let's hop in the good partner over here, Dr. Drew. Let me tell you something, ladies. He is passionate man. And he is hot. William. William, I turn the radio down. Let's have another call. William, take a chance. Turn that radio down and hop back on the phone. But before we talk to Brian over there, 32 years old, line 5, call from Dallas.
Byron.
Texas. Byron, so don't ever correct me on here, son of a bitch. Let's check the time. It's 11:52 and 10 seconds. That's 7 minutes and 50 seconds away from the top of the hour, straight up. You got the fastest 8.5 minutes of radio. Byron is 32. What's going on there, brother, man?
Hey, what's up? I have a question for Drew. I only want to date people that are women. I'm sorry. I'm totally hetero. Women that are of a different race than me.
Which one? Gay. Which race?
Drew, what is that?
What race?
It really doesn't matter as long as, you know, they're different from me.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Huh?
What's wrong with that?
I mean, is there... you know, I hear there's some kind of self-hatred or something.
No. What are you there, Byron? What are you coming in?
I'm black.
You're a black man, and you like the white ladies and the Asian ladies and the Chicano ladies, huh?
Yeah, well, it seems to be what I have the most luck with.
Yeah,
all right, well.
That's
good,
your thing,
good
right?
Good times. Well, it's not even that you're so much pursuing them, it's that those are the ones you have success with, and you're happy with that, and enjoy. Not a problem.
Brother. Keep it real in the hizzy house. Yeah. All right. Once you go black, you're going to go black. All right, Andrew. Let's check the time real fast there. It's 11:53 and 30 seconds. That's 6 minutes and 30 seconds away from the top of the hour, straight up. The witching hour. Let's hop back on the phone. You're smack dab into the light. Fastest hit ever. Dr. Drew. Passionate. Hot. Ace Rock. Type. Check time.
Go to break.
Hey, I want to give a big Loveline shout out to phone screener Sarah. This is her last night. She's done stellar work for us over the last year. She's a delight. Always quick with the coffee and a smile, a joke and a pat on the back, and we're going to miss her very, very much.
That's true.
She's a passionate woman. But I know she'll have a great career wherever she goes. I said that the first time I met her.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I stand by
that. He means that.
Yes. All right. So we will miss Sarah.
And you gave her parents a great compliment.
Yes. They did a good job with her. Possibly too good. She's a little cocky. Someone's got to bring her down to earth. All right. So, Anderson, great job as usual. Engineer Anderson, producer and Lauren on the phone screening detail, too, as well. Give a shout out to her. And until next time, Santa Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. And whatever you feel is whatever you feel.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.